Turn with me to
2 Corinthians. Really just getting started in our time through 2 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 1,
2 Corinthians 1 through 11. Passage on the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. What an encouraging passage is this for us this morning. I encourage you to read along with me. And just let these words sink into your inner person as we read together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, and we know that as you share our sufferings, you will share also in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Wow, what a passage. Let's pray together and we'll just unpack a little bit of this first chapter of 2 Corinthians this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for such a wonderful passage and a wonderful reminder of your character. You are the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, a delivering God. We just pray for grace this morning so that we would more than understand this passage. I think that the truths here are pretty easy to grab onto, but that this would become something that affects the way we think in our daily lives, that it would affect the way that we face trials and life in general. And that, God, we would rest in faith and in hope, remembering that the current situations that we see in our lives are not the whole story. God, grow us today through the reading of your word and use this passage in our lives to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Afflictions. You noticed in there that Paul starts out in this epistle talking about the God of comfort, the God of mercy, in the middle of a time of afflictions. And that's where our reading today basically ended, verse 11, verse 8. Here he says, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." And he wasn't talking about not getting the new television set, was he? He says, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Now that's an affliction, all right? Amen? Now come on, there's plenty of yelling when we're talking about me going long. But let's come on, amen, right? That's an affliction right there. And Paul faced many of those. I'm going to list a few out from the book of Antioch Pisidia, the first town that he went to minister to, he was driven out of town. Driven out. In Iconium, the next place they went to, in Acts 14, they fled so they wouldn't be stoned. Now that's an affliction, amen. In Lystra, I have this one here, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, so it wasn't good enough that they ran away or drove him out, right? They followed him. And having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. They didn't get it done in their town, so they followed him. Dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. And there's some debate on that, whether he actually died and God raised him up. But hear this. When you're stoned and they think you're dead, it's a serious deal. whether he died or not, he was badly injured, and God just stood him up. That's an affliction. Stoned and supposed to be dead. In Antioch in Jerusalem, he had to confront legalists who were teaching false doctrine. In Acts 16, said that he received many blows and was thrown into prison. In Thessalonica, in Acts 17, he was attacked by a mob. In Athens, in Acts 17, this may be one that you would skim over in a study of Paul's ministry, but he was openly mocked. And you know, and I wrote that down when I was thinking about it this morning, even I was thinking, is that really an affliction? It is, isn't it? But you look at the other things that happened to him, you know, all right, mocked, whatever, right? But do you like that? When just for who you are, doing what you're called to do, and you're just ran into the ground, and people are making fun of you, and running you down, and that's an affliction. That's real life stuff. You know, maybe no one here will be stoned to death, but we're all likely to be mocked for our faith in Christ. Paul faced that. Seems like a small thing, it's not. In Corinth, the Jews presented a united attack against Paul. In Ephesus, there was that whole uproar over Artemis. The whole city came out. There was all that turmoil, and they were, caused all that trouble, and there all, who knows what could have happened there if the governor hadn't intervened. In Jerusalem, he was arrested in Acts 21 in the temple, dragged across the Roman Empire. There was plots to kill him. He was in storms at sea, shipwrecked many times, and spent years as a prisoner, dragged all across the Roman Empire. Paul had his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that famous passage where he talked about his thorn in the flesh. There's some debate on that. Some people think it was his physical limitations, his eyesight, probably from when Christ confronted him. Many people think that his thorn in the flesh was a person, a real-life flesh and blood person. And I think that's probably true. Because he said, it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. It's very possible that this was a person in his life causing him trouble. He testified of that often. You know, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Notice his testimony, his life testimony. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked, night and a day. I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. That's a lot of danger. Amen? Danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Wow. Afflictions. Our lives have troubles. They're difficult. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. Hard times happen. Can you identify with those statements today? A lot of the things that Paul, he was almost like the poster child for affliction, save maybe Christ. But all those things that happened to Paul won't happen to us, but a lot of them do, don't they? We experience trouble, affliction. Our lives are characterized by those often, sickness and health problems. It's a constant reminder of reality in our world. Sickness and health issues. Death. Our loved ones dying or facing death, or you yourself facing death. Afflictions. Disappointments. People let you down. Anybody ever let anyone down that's here today? You ever been let down? People didn't quite measure up or do what they said they were going to do? Man, that happens all the time. Disappointments. Life may not go the way you planned it. You ever find yourself throughout life just getting to a point and you say, this is not where I thought my life would be. Hurts from other people mistreatment or abuse. It's real in our world. For some, affliction has been their whole life. Turmoil, stress, troubles, problems. The Bible calls these afflictions trials. Now, I love how Paul treats this. I think one of the first steps, this is a good insight into, as human beings, what do we do in this broken world? What do we do? The first step is to be honest. Read this 8 and 9 with me again. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. Paul wasn't hiding anything, was he? And you think about it, if he's there and he's going to make a defense of his apostleship and he's being used of God, he would not boast in his problems, would he? Right? He would talk about all the great things God did. In our world today, if you were making an argument, you'd talk about how God was at work, all the great things that had happened, how you had been spared. Even if you were telling people who God was, you wouldn't say, oh, and look at all of the trouble that God let into my life. Right? Paul wasn't hiding anything. We don't want you to be ignorant of the burdens, the affliction we spared in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond strength, we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. He was honest about his suffering. I remember once I was called by a customer of mine to come and do some work, and it was something so trivial, I didn't know why they would call me. And it was a lady, she was alone, and she wanted to talk. Because why she called me to work, actually, she didn't say that, but that was what it was, because she started talking immediately. And she was dying of cancer. And her church, their belief was that if you even told anybody you had cancer, your words gave the cancer power or the devil power. So you weren't allowed to talk about it. And so she had to hide her sickness from all of her friends at church and all of her family. And if she had enough faith, she would be healed. And she wanted to ask me about that because it's a serious deal. And so I told her what the Bible said, that God allows these afflictions into our life for His glory and our good to grow us. And it's okay to talk about it. It gives the cancer no power. You need help. You need some support during these difficult times. And go to your doctor. Life has these kinds of afflictions. We face trials. Be honest about it. Talk about it. If you're hurting, talk about it. That's the first step. It's interesting to me. I try to prepare 6 months to 3 months ahead for anything that I share here. I'd like to have the whole series done before I start. Didn't happen this time. It's been a little bit of busy, to say the least. But this is an interesting place for this message to land for me. Life is full of these kind of trials, isn't it? I mean, we're going to face them all the time. There's going to be difficulty, difficulties of people, difficulties of circumstances, difficulties at work, difficulties in your family, difficulties in your community, difficulties in your country, amen? I mean, there's just crazy stuff going on. Cry out to the Lord. Be honest about it. Be honest with others about it. That's the first step in working through afflictions. Life is full of them. I don't know where we ever got the idea that somehow in this life it was going to be heaven. Huh? Where do I get that? That's what we want, right? I mean, who doesn't want that? I want that. It's just not reality. That day's coming. We'll talk about that later. So our afflictions, and then in this passage, the character of God. Isn't that interesting? The character of God. So Paul is honest about his afflictions, but then reminds us about and points us to God in the middle of his struggles and his trials. The first thing he tells us about God is that he is the Father of mercy. The Father of mercies. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. What a really simple, to the point, wonderful description of who God is. He's the Father of mercy. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The book is called Lamentations. Amen? It's called Lamentations. This is the prophet Jeremiah, but this is a man who is in afflictions, crying out. His life is hard. He's crying out and he says, I have hope. God, your mercies are new. They never end. God is the God of mercy. When you're in tribulation, all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. I'm going to submit to us this morning that we have proof that God is merciful this morning. And it is placed right in your seat. There is no reason for any human being to yet be walking this earth. Amen? God, in his justice, could have, should have, wiped us out. But he didn't, did he? Why not? He's merciful. He had a different plan. How about this? There is no reason for God to redeem mankind, right? He could have left us on this world and just let us ruin it and just let us go to hell. He didn't. He had a different plan. He is merciful. And that's what this Deuteronomy passage is telling us. You're going to turn from the Lord. When you come back to him, he's there. He's merciful. He's Father of mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Father of mercies. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. We've seen that. He is the Father of mercies. He's also the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I don't know if you caught, I suppose you did, but if you meditated on it, he says the word comfort 10 times in verses 3 through 7. That makes us, okay, there's a point, right? Amen? There's a point. God comforts us. He is the God of all comfort. And he wanted us to get this idea of comfort, being actual comforted. You know, it's one thing to understand that God is merciful, right? But it's another thing to understand that in his mercy, God comes alongside us with actual, practical, for-the-day comfort. He really does. That's who he is. He's a comforting God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The presence of God comes along through me in the valley of the shadow of death and gives me, God, you give me comfort. I was reading this one this morning and I said, whoa, I need to memorize that one. That's a good one to memorize, isn't it? When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Whoa. Right? Church, have the cares of your heart been many at any time this week? How about this year? Have there been a time when the cares of your heart have been many? Amen. Amen. That's life, isn't it? Life weighs on us. It gets heavy. Things happen. And then what we need to do, remember, okay, when the cares of my heart are many, it is the consolations of the Lord. It is the merciful character, the comforting nature of my God that comforts me and cheers my soul. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. God is the God of all comfort. He's a comforting God. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John 16. It's called the Comforter. The comfort of God is a real thing. He really does come alongside us when times are difficult and dark and gives us support and comfort in our time of need. God raises the dead. What do you do when you feel like you have received the sentence of death? You got two choices, don't you? Give up and die, or trust in someone who can raise the dead. That's what Paul is encouraging us here. It's God's character to raise the dead. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Notice that this is a stunning verse, by the way. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. God raises the dead. It's his character. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's God's character to bring life out of death. I love this passage right here. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What we have in Christ, we have because God raises the dead. Christ was raised from the dead. What we have in Christ, we have because God is a God that raises the dead. What do you do when you have the sentence of death? Give up or go to someone who raises the dead. Paul says God's character is he's one. You know, you think about that. When death had a hold of Jesus, death had no power over Jesus. He had to raise from the dead. That's because of his character. The God who delivers. I love this one as well. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Wow. The God who delivers. He's a delivering God. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation, Selah. God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belongs deliverances from death. He's a God of salvation. It's his character to deliver, to save. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. God is a saving God. He's a redeemer. Jesus, when he was named, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Literally means savior, saver, deliverer. Jesus. God is the God who saves. He is a redeemer. So, we have on one hand our afflictions, and then we have on the other hand the character of God. I want to read it again. I know we're kind of at a halfway point and we got ground to cover, but just read it with me. And again, like I said, let these truths sink down into your inner person. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in our comfort. We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. We are so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we would receive the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us, and on him we have set our hope. He will deliver us again. Twin realities. Twin realities. We have the current reality of our struggle, that life can be very difficult. For some people, it is very difficult. I've met people later in life, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, who in their perception, their life has been a struggle of affliction for their entire existence. And man, that's rough. And to hear their story, how they started out and where they got to where they are. Our struggle can be very difficult. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. There are many different kinds of trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James talked of various kinds of trials. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. That sounds serious to me. The fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Peter talked about the fiery trial. Jesus gave this message to his disciples. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. James, Peter, John, Paul, even Jesus talked about their experience of affliction in this fallen world. In this world we will have trouble. Doesn't feel like that maybe when you're younger. You feel invincible. The older you get, it piles up. It piles up, doesn't it? It really does. Our current reality, the struggle, or life can be difficult. But the twin truth that God is who he is. God is who he is. He is, his nature is, the Father of all mercy. The God of all comfort. The God who raises the dead. The God who delivers. Right in the middle of our story. So, be honest about it, and then bring God into life's difficulties and troubles. And I've noticed this as we work with people. There's really two basic ways that human beings, there's many variations, but there's basically two ways that human beings deal with life not working, life not going their way, life having difficulties. And one is, they will flee from the things of the Lord. Get angry about it. Run from the things of the Lord. Lose faith. Reject any reference to God at all. Or, you will draw near to God. You will bring God into your suffering, into your affliction. Bring God into it. Remember God. Remember his character in these times that are difficult. Remember his character. He is the sovereign God, the great king. All things are under his authority. Nothing gets by him. He's also absolutely good. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us. Remember his character. Bring him right in to your suffering and your trials. Remember that God has a purpose in allowing afflictions. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. Paul was confessing to them, to the Corinthians, and to us, that God was up to something in his life. God was working. God hadn't abandoned him. You feel like that, right? Where is God in this thing? He hadn't abandoned Paul. In fact, he was right in the middle of Paul's suffering. This is why I said this is stunning. God was working something in Paul's life that he needed to learn. And what was it? Faith. The Apostle Paul needed faith. Whoa. Do you feel sunk at the moment? If Paul needed faith, our faith needs to grow. Amen? Our faith needs to grow. A lot of times that's what God is doing. He's just growing our faith. He's growing our trust in him. He's bringing these difficulties into our life to get our attention and to make us stop trusting ourselves and then to just force us into a place where we have to rely on him. That's a grace. Amen? That is a grace. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. One of the most rich things that God can do for you, Christian, is to increase your faith in him. It's one of the most rich things he can do. He does that through trials. Paul said that's exactly what God was doing. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. When you have the sentence of death, you're out of options. Amen? You're out of options. What am I going to do? Right? Can't save myself. Can't deliver myself. God can. Let's rely on him. Remember, bring God into your afflictions. Remember God. He is a great king. He is absolutely good. And he has a purpose. Paul, he was up to something good in Paul's life. He is up to something good in your life. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God will use every affliction for good. He causes some He allows to happen. He uses them all for good. Three general categories that I see where God uses affliction. One, God uses affliction, our afflictions, to glorify Himself. And to me, I think that's just beautiful. And you can use like the example of Job as a real life, how this works. Satan comes in to talk to God. Where you been? Well, I've just been running around the earth, doing this and that. You know, real vague, kind of like a teenager. And really, have you considered my servant Job? Ah, yeah. Take what away which you've given him, and he'll curse you. So God gives him some parameters, and Satan can't go outside of those parameters. And Job, he gives glory to God. You see, Christian, when your life is hard, you know, anybody can praise God when life is good. Amen. Look at the blessings we've got. Let's go sing about it. And the money's pouring in and the food is good and everybody loves me. Yeah, right? When your life is hard, but you confess that Jesus is Lord, when you put your trust in Him, when you do His will, God is greatly glorified. And the very angels and demons see that. And you give glory to your Creator. That is amazing. It's one of the things God is doing in afflictions. Another is that, of course, He's growing you. He's making you like Christ. Sometimes God needs to get our attention. We're a little thick-headed sometimes, all right? And God needs to get our attention. He needs to change us. He's going to use afflictions to do that. And the third one is rich in this passage. We're comforted by God so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by. When you go through something hard and God brings you through it, you become an expert on that kind of suffering. And God is faithful to bring someone into your life that needs to be comforted by you. God is going to use your afflictions. Bring them right into your afflictions. Be honest about it. See God in it. Bring Him right into those problems and trials. That's what he's all about. We saw His character. Remember, Jesus was afflicted for you. Amen. Remember? Amen. He was afflicted. And lastly, have a right perspective. Have a right perspective then on these twin realities. They are both realities. Now, life is difficult at times, but God is still God. So have a right perspective. God is at work. He does care. Of course He cares. God is doing something good. Remember His character. He's in the business of comforting the afflicted. He's in the business of giving real mercy and comfort to you in your times of need. We have many promises that God has made us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Many promises, the promise of heaven, the promise of His Spirit, the promise of bringing us through all of our difficulties, all of those different things. Remember those promises. Be honest and pray. This verse is interesting. Did that seem out of place when we read it? Isn't that interesting? He says, you must also help us by prayer. And so Paul is confessing his afflictions. He's confessing God's work in his life, the comfort and mercy that God is showing him. And then he says, and there's something that you have to do. Right? Isn't that interesting? You need to pray for us. Help us by prayer so then there's an end goal. So that many will give thanks on our behalf and the blessing granted through us through the prayers of many. So more people hear about it, more people would praise God, more people would pray. Have a right perspective. Pray for help. A lot of times, I mean, and this one is a rich demonstration of that. A lot of times there are things that are completely out of our control that are happening. People, I don't know if anyone here, have you ever changed anyone yet? Have you got that done? Don't you love it when a young person is, I just love that man or that woman. Well, what are you talking about? Oh, I'll change that in them. Yeah, right.
you are in for a world of affliction.
I don't know how many times I've had to share that with people. A lot of times, people are affliction. We can't change them. God says he can change the heart of the king like rivers of water. All right?
We've seen it, haven't we?
We have seen God people change people's hearts, change their attitude, change their mind, change their character. Pray. Pray for help. Be honest about your struggles. Go to God in prayer. Pray for others, as this passage is telling us. Help by praying for those that are in affliction. We need each other. I was going to send a note to one of my friends this morning. I'm praying for you because he has an exciting announcement that he's making. And then I just started thinking, oh, I need to pray for this guy. I need to pray for this guy. I started praying for all these people that I knew. Then I just decided, God just laid something in my heart. Pray for this guy. I hadn't thought about this guy in years. I don't know why. I said, God, I don't know what he needs. I'm praying for him this morning. We need each other. Pray for each other. Be honest and pray. Live in light of eternity. Live in light of eternity. Easier said than done, but it's what we need to do. Notice what he says of his troubles later in this book. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Yeah, that sentence of death was a light momentary affliction. How in the world? Really? A light momentary affliction? That's what Paul says. His afflictions, like ours, were momentary and light. They don't feel like it sometimes, do they? They feel heavy and exhausting to me at times. Paul is reminding us that in light of eternity, with an eternal perspective, those are actually momentary and light. All suffering, all affliction has an end date. All of it does. None of it is forever. It's never eternal. And so our afflictions are light and momentary in comparison with an eternal weight of glory. That's the comparison there. When we look at them side by side, we say, that was rough, but that is absolutely nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. My eternal viewpoint is that there is so much more going on. All suffering has a season, and it will end, but it is building for you far greater eternal glory. And then remember that there is a resurrection. There's a resurrection. God is going to make all things new one day. The things that we suffer here are not forever. It's not going to be like this forever. Some suffering feels like it goes on forever, doesn't it? Just to my shame, I remember just this month saying, I wish that this would go away. Do you ever feel like that? I wish this would go away. Why won't it go away? Right? And that's a bad attitude. God is doing something. God is doing something. He's going to make all things new. Eventually it will go away. I remember old dear Jason. He used to say, man, you pastors have an awesome retirement plan, but you have to die to get it. all of our sufferings come to an end. God will make all things new. There will be no more suffering of any kind. Don't you love it when he says he will wipe away every tear from their eye? Every tear. No more trials. No more suffering. No more problems. I won't be causing problems anymore. We'll have a better understanding of God's full plan. You know, a lot of the things that we suffer in this life, I don't know how many people have asked me in counseling, why would God allow this? I don't know how many times I've had to say, I have no idea. I have no idea. We're not made to know the whys all the time. Did you know that God never told Job plain out, here's why I was doing that, Job? Never. We don't know sometimes the end. We will know much more in the end, amen? When we get to heaven, we'll know much more. And it'll seem so silly and trivial to us. You think about that old dear prophet Jeremiah and all the trouble he had. He's been in the presence of the Lord for thousands of years. I wonder if he remembers much of that at all. You know? I doubt it. He would just, with Paul, say, man, that was momentary and light. Why are we even talking about that? An eternity of pure joy. That's what's ahead for us. An eternity of pure joy. So, in closing, remember in your trials that God is at work. He can be trusted. So suffer well. God is at work. He can be trusted. Suffer well. Pray with me. God, thank you for this wonderful reminder from your word today. A reminder of your character. We already knew about the afflictions. Some of us make more of us than we should. I know myself included. But wow, you are an awesome God. You have a perfect plan for us. And you're always at work for our good and your glory, the help of others. I just pray you'd help us as we soak on and meditate these beautiful truths today. Grow us and grow our faith. As Paul said, we need that. We need to learn more to trust you, not to trust in ourselves, and to glorify yourself in us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for this incredible reminder of who you are. And I pray that we would walk this world full of joy because of those truths. In Jesus' name, amen.